One, two.
Hello, darling.
Hello, darling. How are you?
Blimey, you're on time.
Excuse me, I'm early. I'm 3 minutes early. Thank you very much. You know what? I couldn't wake up. You know, have you had the experience when your alarm goes off and you're in that deep, deep, deep sleep to, out of which you do not want to be and shouldn't be woken? I think that happened to me this morning. My alarm went off at 9:30, I'm ashamed to say, and I just couldn't wake up. Oh my, it took me a long time. So maybe I'm trying to get the endorphins going and the adrenaline going and all of that.
It's so nice to be able to wake up at 9:30 in my estimation, compared to in the summer when you're kind of forced to wake at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Ah, oh, not when you have an air conditioner. You know what? Of all the things, of all the ups and downs and ins and outs that you and I have been through over the years, Ted, I think recommending that air conditioner is the greatest thing you ever did for me. My sleep has...
Excellent.
I mean, as this morning, as per example, my sleep has never been so good. Thank you for that.
Fantastic. You have it turn on at 5 o'clock on a timer, don't you?
Not anymore, no. I tried that and then I realised, no, if I wake up in the night and I'm a bit hot, I've set it up on my Google, I'm ever so sorry, I've set up Google keyword, turn on the air conditioner, so I can just mumble that in my sleep and it will come on and I can turn it off again the same way if I need to.
Right. Well, that may well feature on our 250th show as the best thing ever.
It could be. Yes, it's up there. Up there.
November the 24th, that is. Today it's September the 2nd, and it's show 246, and Aidan and I are here to bring you a bunch of stuff that works or doesn't work. Whateverworks.works is our website, and aidanbell.com is where you can find Aidan, and at santabell.co.uk, and everything else you can find to do with me at tedsalmon.com. So get in there. And why is it cooler, Aidan?
Well, do you know what? Before we move on, Ted, I'd just like to tell our listeners, normally Ted and I will start with, hello, good morning, have you got a cup of tea, are you ready to start recording, how are you today? Today we just sort of dove in, so both in the show and out of the show. How are you, Ted?
Well, yes, I'm very well, thank you. And particularly as the weather has turned and it's just lovely. I almost put my air conditioner away.
Oh, don't do that yet. I believe there's another hot one coming. Do you know what? Just before we started recording, I looked out of the window. My grass is becoming green. I'm like, oh, I remember green grass. It's actually, And do you know what? I don't know if it's the same for you, Ted, but as usual, we were promised, you know, the thunder and lightning and the gods would smite us and everything. And none of that happened. We just had a little trickly rain. But we've had trickly rain for several days. So it's absolutely the best kind of rain for the land because it's just been raining non-stop, trickle, trickle, trickle for many, many, many hours. And everything's waking up. It's wonderful. Is it the same with you?
This happens. This happens every autumn, winter. And then everyone says, well, if the reservoirs are full, then how come we've got a drought in the summer? More reservoirs are needed, apparently. That's the big problem. And I saw someone on the television the other day from the authorities saying that they are building new reservoirs, but they won't be ready until 2033. I've got a feeling I mentioned that on the last show. But, so we've 7 years' time, that will actually be useful to us. Piping all the water from the northwest of the country to the southeast of the country is another thing, which they do very well in the Middle East, incidentally.
Yes, I think that always occurred to me every time. I mean, for the last 7 weeks, we've been watching the weather forecast and thinking, it's not fair. They're all getting it up in north and we've got nothing down here in the south. So, yes, I agree with that. Do you know, I remember as a teenager driving past the Queen Mother Reservoir and giggling and thinking, what an unkind name. Huge, huge body of water, and they call it the Queen Mother. I don't know what that's trying to say.
Perhaps she went bathing there. Talking about the weather, I was trying to work out... So, backstory, very briefly. My double bed, which I inherited with this static van, is just... The mattress is going home, as they say.
Yeah.
It's full of holes. It needs to be replaced. And I was thinking to myself, right, I don't need this whacking great big king-size bed. Let's get rid of it. Let's instead get a movable bed... which is, I can put in the room, which is the coolest to sleep in the summer, particularly. So that was the plan. But I don't want a 3 foot bed. I haven't had a 3 foot bed, 3 foot wide bed for decades. I think I'd be falling on the floor, you know, turning over and falling on the floor. So I thought, right, compromise here, a 4 foot bed. Which apparently in America they call queen size bed, but we call a small double, it seems. Anyway, so off I go to try and find this thing, and all of the ones that I can find have got a poxy little guest room thin mattress, which looks of no comfort at all. And the ones that have got a lovely, lush, big mattress on them are all the 3 foot ones. I've put a picture in the show notes here, and I have put this on in the MeWe group as well, to show you. That's the kind of mattress, a thick, plump mattress. But I want that on a 4 foot queen size bed, which is also on wheels, so I can put it where I want. So anyway, this is a bit of an I want one of those, I'm afraid, but it relates to the weather, obviously, in my case.
Yes.
And I can't find one. So if anyone is out there that makes beds or knows where I could get one of these, then do pipe up.
There's an advantage for you living on your Todd that you can choose to move and sleep in the kitchen or the bathroom or the living room or whichever room you want. You know, yeah. There's an advantage. You know, what I took away from that was I haven't had a 4 foot bed. It sounds like a musical song of your I haven't had a 4 foot bed.
I should keep on the quest. The other option is to buy a what's it mattress. What are they called? Those things you put on top. A topper.
Oh, a topper. Yes, a topper? Yes, yes.
Yeah. So I could get one of the ones that's got a thin mattress and then build the mattress up myself, I suppose.
Yes.
It's all a bit tricky.
Well, you have to go down the Aidan Bell Heath Robinson route and do it yourself and just get the saw exactly. out and the wood glue and off you go.
And if it was a fold up one, like you could always take the top and mattress out when you move it and just carry it with you.
Yes,
it's a work in progress, which won't rear its head again until next May when we're boiling hot again.
I tell you what occurred to me the other day, which always occurs to me when I wash my bedding and have to take the sheet off my bed. How bloody heavy my mattress is! I've got a memory foam mattress. Yeah. I've had it for too many years now because it was a wonderful, expensive. What's the company that make the wonderful memory foam mattresses? Anyway, it's one of those.
Silent Night.
No. But anyway, that, and it weighs a ton. I mean, I even have trouble just turning it over to get the sheet on and off. So, I mean, you wouldn't be able to move that from room to room unless you were, you know, 20 years old and a gym rat. Right, anyway,
yes, indeed.
Moving on. I had an email. I had a weird email, as did my mother. And we can't think for the life of us why my mother got it as well. Beef Eater restaurants are closing down after dinner on Thursday the 10th, which is what, about 2 days' time as we record this. I don't know. I presume it's because I've booked with Beef Eater in the past and I'm on some ancient mailing list of theirs. But it's a sign of the times. All beef eater restaurants, not only our local one, are closing down and will be no more by the time we record our next show. I don't really care, but it's a sign of the movement of the times, isn't it?
I got an email. I'm still 2.5 years later monitoring my mum's Gmail account, and she got a email from Table. That they're closing all their table places on the 3rd of September, which is tomorrow as we record. For people that don't know, Table tend to be alongside Premier Inns. I'm guessing they're part of the same group as Beef Eater, if they're all doing this. I don't know.
We need to clarify then, because I'd misunderstood. I thought Table was an online booking website, but Table is also the name of an eatery, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
They tend to be next door to Premier Inns. They have said in this email, they said that they're going to protect dining arrangements for people staying in Premier Inns. So I've no idea how they're going to do that, because presumably they're closing the tables and the beef eaters in order to sell them off and make money. Don't know.
Well, our beef eater is next door to where I do my Pilates, darling, and my Pilates guy was very pissed off the other week because he told me that the beef eater is going to become a McDonald's.
Oh, right.
And it's still next door to a Premier Inn, but it's going to reopen as a McDonald's. So maybe that's how Premier Inn are taking care of their guests' dietary needs by opening McDonald's.
Oh, right, yeah. That could be it, couldn't it?
Oh,
blimey.
Dear.
They actually didn't say in the email. But do you know if there's a link between beef eater and table, or you didn't know because you didn't know what table was?
Now that you mentioned it, I do remember seeing them. No, I always thought the beef eater were in bed with Premier Inn, or could it be Travelodge? Because those two I always get confused. They're right. Kind of synonymous as well. I mean, it tends to be, doesn't it, that where there is a Travelodge or a Premier Inn, there tends to be a beef eater or a table or a, what's the other one, the one that does the carvery? I can't remember the name of it.
Bernie.
Something like that. Yeah, that's very 1970s, Ted. I don't think there's any more Bernies. Oh, you've got me. It's going to annoy me now. I shall have to shriek out and say it. There's a name of a carvery. Anyway, they always tend to be, you know, as you said, one next to the other. So if all the eateries are closing, as you say, Premier Inn are going to have to take care of their customers by opening McDonald's. Oh, dear.
Yeah, what a laugh.
Toby! It's Toby! That's it's coming to me. Ah. Toby Carvery. Aye, that's the one. That's another sort of common next door to a hotel.
They used to be Jugs.
Yes. Right, let's move on before everybody switches off.
Yes, a big thank you to Gareth Williams for his ongoing coffee pot support.
Thank you,
and
Gareth
anyone
Williams.
Else that is paying into our little pot for helping us keeping things going. The consistent excellence you produce across a range of podcasts and topics, says Gareth, is great. I and many others look forward to and enjoy them all. My continued thanks to you, Aidan, Gareth and Joe. Isn't that nice? He's a lovely chap, Gareth, isn't he?
Well, he's not that lovely because he's told you you produce consistent excellence, and now Aidan, Gareth and Joe are not going to hear the end of it. But yes, it is indeed very generous and very grateful, generous words as well, Gareth. Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, indeed.
Ed House reacted to my, what he called, Aidan's blurb on Gold Star. If you remember, I was talking about Zen Internet and switching over to Zen and wondering whether I could give Zen a Gold Star when all they really did was their job. But Ed says that a star should be awarded for people just doing what they're paid to do. Maybe we should start a new section on whatever works, he said, called This Is How the Job Should Be Done, or Comfortingly Competent, or Just Good Business, for awarding the people for quietly working away and doing good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good point, Ed. He does, because, you know, as we said when we talked about it last time, with so many companies simply messing up, it's nice to be able to celebrate companies just for getting it right in the first place.
Yeah, definitely. It's, talking of which, have you subsequently two weeks on done some speed testing on your Zen Internet?
I've speed tested now and again, and it's absolutely fine, Ted. I'm sorry to disappoint
Excellent.
It's been absolutely perfect.
As I said on the last show, I am not disappointed. I'm delighted that doesn't happen anymore. So up yours, ugly.
Yeah, I think it's the pace of technology caught you unawares there. You know, because what you were talking about was a year or two ago, wasn't it?
And in
technological terms, that's an absolute eon, isn't it?
Jim Fowler's next on Rui Chi foldable phone stands. You get four of these for under a fiver, so it's as cheap as chips and are still using, because yes, I carry it around with me still all the time, and it's doing a stellar job with my new Galaxy Z Fold 8 in both portrait and landscape mode. So this is a little wallet stand that you put your phone in, basically. It folds up and it's really, really simple. You could probably, someone like Aidan could probably make one of these quite easily. You fold it up and you put it in your wallet, and when you want to stick your phone up to look at a tablet, I suppose, to look at a YouTube video or something, you just take it out of your wallet, unfold it, and you can prop it up. Really simple. You could certainly make one out of cardboard, probably. But these ones are really cheap. And as he says, you get four for under a fiver.
Yeah, do you know, I know this. I've used these. It's very clever because the more you open it, the wider it gets and the larger a device it can hold. So just keep it closed for tiny devices and hugely wide. Oh, missus, open your legs up for the large devices. I had one that I used a lot, and it's one of those things like saying, when did you stop having a headache? I actually have no recollection of when I stopped using this, and I've now got no idea where it is. But yes, it was very, very useful at the time. I do remember. Yes. So thank you, Jim.
Very handy indeed. And Jim is also still using his Microsoft Universal Folding Keyboard, which has got some good press over the years. Steve Litchfield loves this one and has done over the years. It just does the job and takes up minimal space in what I call my bat pack. My bat pack, in which he puts cables. That must be a bag, I think. Yeah,
yes,
must be where he stuffs all his tech gear. Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Good stuff.
Yeah, live wildlife watch for you for a second. I'm looking out my window as we record this, and I think, remember, I talked about rats on the show before, that I bought this rat trap to try and catch the rats half-heartedly, and it didn't, and I was glad, and I do occasionally still see a rat. Well, I mean, talk about ecosystems. We've now got the local cats, and as I'm looking now, I can see a cat stalking outside round near my pond. So, you know, the natural circle of life works. You bring out the rats, you get the predators. Now we've got the cats in the garden as well, so all good fun. Here, listen, I want to bring to the show the Govee Life 2-in-1 outdoor thermometer hydrometer. What's the word?
Hygrometer.
Have I spelt it wrong?
Hygrometer.
I thought it was, well, anyway, you know, the one what tells you how wet the air is. I can't justify this for any serious reason. It's a classic Aidan Bell buying a new toy. I haven't had a new toy for a while. And during the latest of the horrid, horrid heat waves, I was taking quite an interest in temperature and was getting a little peeved that the temperature that the wonderful, if you remember the Yoshiko thermometers that you and I both have that give you both the outdoor and indoor temperatures, there was no, we've got a four of them in our house, I think, now, and two receivers. And they were giving different results depending on which receiver you were looking at. And then there was the news telling you the temperature. And then there was Google telling you a different temperature. And I just thought, I wonder which one is correct. So I did some investigation. And purely for the fun of it, I bought this thermometer from Govee, and I bought a TFA Dortmund 90. Well, it's got a lot of numbers in it. Basically, it's a plastic weather shield. It's called a Stevenson screen. It's one of these white slotted things, just a bit of old plastic from Amazon that cost £8.90, that you put the thermometer in. And I did my Heath Robinson game, and I took it outside, and I mounted it on a pole in the garden in the optimum position, having discussed it with Gemini, of course. And it's out there. And I mean, the funny thing is, it now gives me a fifth temperature to work with. So, I mean, who knows which one's right? But I'm going with that one because, you know, I'm figuring, well, what they tell you on the telly may come from somewhere like Kew Gardens, and what Google tells me probably comes from Welling Garden City, which is the next town down the road. This thing's in my garden, and it tells me the accurate temperature in my garden at any time. And it's Wi-Fi, so it talks to the phone, so it can I can set an alert to let me know if it gets too hot or too cold. So, you know, again, bells and whistles I probably don't need. I don't need, in inverted commas, to own this at all. But it's good fun, and I'm enjoying keeping an eye on the temperature outside and comparing it to the several other variants of the temperature according to different places that give you the temperature. But, yeah, I'm enjoying it. That's all I can
say,
really.
I want one of these. I'm fascinated by weather. And as you know, over the years you've known me, I'm always banging on about weather, whether it be too hot or too cold or too windy or whatever it is. And I've got all sorts of devices all littered all over my place. And I know exactly where the sensors are. So I've got one underneath the static. I've got one that sits in the sun. I've got one that sits in the shade. And it sounds like you, I kind of don't know really which one's yes. true. So that I think this one will do me well.
You know what you need to do? We need to get somebody like Steve Litchfield to design us a little equation that would sort of take all the temperatures and give you a mean temperature based on all of them at any one time and zap it into your phone so you can see the temperature according to your 45 thermometers, all of which giving a different result.
I'll tell you one thing I haven't got yet is a wind thingy. Yeah. I did think about that. You stick it on your roof and you attach it to your phone and it's got a little windmill twirly thing on it. Yes. And it tells you how fast the wind is. I never quite got to buying that.
I tell you what, I thought about this when I bought this thermometer because I remembered, as I'm sure you and the listeners will, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, maybe even longer, I brought onto the show a weather station that I just bought with great excitement. Mm. And the thing was, after a little while, I just thought, I don't really care. Unlike you, Ted, and with great respect, I'm not that bothered about the amount of millimetres of the rain or the wind. I seem to be very interested in the temperature, but not much else. I mean, for instance, the hydrometer part of this thing, I'm not really paying any attention to the humidity. You know, so each to their own. So for me personally, the thermometer is enough because I found when I did have that weather station, I didn't tend to pay any attention. It was lovely to have it on the wall with all these numbers changing all the time, telling me endless information that I never really looked at. So, as we say, each to their own, I guess.
I didn't used to take any pay any attention to the humidity figure, but I do now because it definitely has an impact on how it feels, even if the temperature's high, if the humidity is down,
yes,
it totally feels different, as we know. So there is that. The other thing that happens to me when the sun is out and it's really hot and it's humid is that I get itchy eyes. I don't know if this happens to you, but I suddenly find myself blinking and I think, good grief, my eyes must be dry and horrible. So I headed off to try and get Optrex because that seems to be the thing that everyone gets for that, dry eyes and all that. And I couldn't believe the price of it. £8.29 for a 300ml little pot. And so I found this other stuff called Visualize, which is also a bit of a cheap as chips, Visualize Multi-Action Eye Wash. And honestly, it's a whacking great big bottle and it will just last forever. And inside the bottle, you also get a little eye bath and you can, if you want to, you can use the bath or you can just turn your head upside down and drip this stuff in. And on those hot days, it did make a difference. It really did. It refreshes your eyes and it makes them feel just less irritated and less dry. So I don't know, do you get dry eyes when the weather's hot?
I don't, but my mother does, and she has, but she's been, she gets a prescription with Hycazan drops from her doctor that she puts in her eyes. Yeah, I mean, this is brilliant, Ted. I don't get dry eyes. I'm lucky. I don't need them. I mean, obviously, with medical things, you've got to be careful you're not buying some Ning Yang Po product from China that you don't know what's in it. But something like this, why not? And save the pennies, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. It was £4 for a, you know, it's basically half the price of Optrex.
Yes, yes.
So it's cool. And I've got a great big bottle now. Well, the only thing is that I think the bottle says, hang on a minute, he says grabbing it. I've got a feeling it says you've got to use it within 3 months, which might be a bit of a
problem. Oh, that's normal. Yeah, but
I
that's normal with any, with so many medications. And the same with Optrex, I do know from my mother's experience. I've got to tell you, while you're looking on the thing, Ted, I think I'm going to give you a gold star today for the best link you have done in months. I mean, that was so cool. That was an awesome link, I have to say.
Yes, excellent. Yes, I just checked, and it is. You're supposed to use it within 90 days of opening it, so there is that.
To the best of my memory, that's, which isn't much, that's the same as Optrex, actually, 90 days.
Okay.
Still using and still using.
Do you know what? We need to work on getting an earlier jingle. It's normally halfway through the show before we've heard the jingle. But anyway, what am I still using? I'm still using my Mokko glasses holder. Now, I've brought it on the show 2 or 3 times, so I'll do it very quickly because people may be tired of hearing about this. But it's, you know, it's a sort of, Oh, I don't know. I mean, the easiest way to describe it is it's a bit like a coffee cup. It's like a bit like a fur-lined, slightly squished coffee cup that you stand your glasses up in. Made of leather, faux leather, I'm sure, of course, with, again, artificial fur on the inside. I bought two of them, or did I buy one of them? I'm afraid I can't remember whether it was two or one, but I paid $8.99 back in 2019, January the 5th show. Now I've noticed it's up to $12.99. But they're just really, really, really useful. I have one on my desk. I have one by my bed. And I use them both daily. When I go to sleep, I chuck my glasses in at night, get them out in the morning. And when I'm in my studio where I have to swap between my regular glasses and my PC glasses, you know, they take it in turns to sit in it. And it's a very good way of dumping your glasses, knowing that they're going to be protected and they'll be fine and clean when you pick them up again. That's it.
I think I said last time you mentioned this that great uncle Ted had this, my great uncle who I've taken my name from, and he always had these by the television on his little side table. So that's always what these things remind me of. But yeah, they're very good. Well done.
I thank you kindly. And what are you still using?
I'm still using my Apollo wooden cutlery tray, which I bought in 2017, and. It's really, really nice. It's normally in your cutlery drawer, you kind of have this plastic crappy thing, which is of no significance or interest at all. But this one is made of wood. I think it's pine, and it's really, really nice. And it's just it's basically a wooden tray, and it's just really nice. My one didn't happen to fit in my cutlery drawer in the static, so I've actually got mine sat on top of the microwave oven, which is absolutely fine too. It's always sat there, and it's great. It's made of really nice wood. It does the job perfectly, and it's definitely a whatever works, because I always know where my cutlery is. And if you happen to have a drawer the right size, 32 by 4 by 24 centimetres, then it would be great inside the drawer too. Oh, here it is. It's made of high-quality Hevia wood, whatever that is.
Well, it's a bit barbarian of me to say it, but since it is made of wood, whatever Hevia may be, you could always just take a saw to it so it fits your drawer. I mean, you just cut off the bit you don't need.
Yes. Ted's top tips, Ted's top tips, Ted's top tips. You can have my Ted's top tip this time.
How kind of you, Ted. I'm just thinking, it's a bit late because it's been raining, so I've missed the boat on this one. But if you think about the heat waves we've just had, and of course we will again, so it's just as pertinent even in the rain, to say that everything has been tinder dry, and of course the possibility of house fires unusually high, as we've all seen on the news, very sadly, lots of house fires, lots of people losing their houses, their livelihood, and sometimes their lives because of them. My mother and I live in a wooden bungalow, so I've taken great care. In the past few weeks, I purchased two new smoke alarms and then checked all of our smoke alarms, fire extinguishers. So the first top tip is remember to maintain and keep in good condition fire alarms, fire extinguishers, first aid kits, and all such things, to make sure that they're always there and ready, because when the emergency happens, you need to A, know where it is, and B, know that it's going to work immediately when you need it to. And the second top tip is that my mother and I, it's a little bit somber, but I think it could be a very good idea. If you were unfortunate enough to suffer a house fire, we made a save from the fire list. We both went round each room of the house, marking the things that were genuinely either important and might need keeping, like various documents, passports and things, and also particularly important sentimental things, like a particular picture or a particular piece of jewellery or whatever it might be. And we made as short a list as we could manage of things to save from the fire. Now, of course, it could be that when there's a fire, all you can do is get out and watch it burn. But sometimes the fire might start at one end of the house and you rush to the other end and grab the list. So I've printed the list. This is a classic Aidan Bell. You're going to laugh. I've printed the list on high-vis orange glow paper, so it's easy to spot. So if the fire happens and we go into panic mode, you just scan the room and you can, I mean, right now I can see the copy that's sitting on one of the bookcases in my studio to be grabbed and adhered to. Obviously, I'm going to have people saying, oh, you shouldn't tell people to run around their house during a fire. The most important thing is to leave the house. Well, of course, safety first, always. But if you have the chance to, there's a good way of remembering when your brain isn't going to be working properly what to grab before you leave the house. And yes, my mother is on the top of that list.
I wonder in reality if if you were subjected to that situation, that anyone could be thinking about what to save. I suppose, I don't know, I think if there was a fire in my static, I would just be heading for the door, not thinking about, oh, what can I get, take with me?
I couldn't agree more, Ted. It's an insurance policy. It's one of those things, it may very well be that all you do is think of getting out. But if you did have the chance to think, oh, have I got a moment to grab something, then you would be very grateful for a list that tells you what to grab.
Yeah. I think I'd be heading for the try and find a fire extinguisher. Yeah, and the fire extinguisher could be on the save from a fire list.
Yes, now just getting complicated. I think we'll have another jingle.
Right, Judge Barton's Cheapest Chips, this show, is going to be handed over to my rain poncho. I was out on my scooter the other day, and it was pissing down with rain, hurrah, as previously mentioned. But it wasn't anything close to cold. It was like a rain in India, you know.
Yes,
it was still baking. And I thought to myself, I don't need my coat on. And so I looked around, and I didn't have anything to put on at all, so I just got wet. But I remember the cagoule from the 1980s, and I thought, that's the kind of thing that you would have, this kind of plastic thing you put over you, and
yes,
it's like a coat.
But
I haven't got a cagoule, and I don't know if they still sell them. They probably do in hiking shops. Anyway, I landed on these rain ponchos, and you get two of these in a pack for £9.99, except that they're no longer cheap as chips, because they've now hiked up to £13.99. Unless you count the two separately, then it is still a cheap as chips. Anyway. These are EVA waterproof ponchos with a hood, and basically it's a sheet of plastic with a hood in the middle, and you can either undo the poppers down the sides and do them up again once you've got it on, or because it's so big, I just pulled it over my head. And I pulled it over my head, and it's absolutely fine. And I put my helmet on, and off I went. And it's just like having a tent round you, a real big poncho, like you're a Mexican. And it's great. And I rode this the next time it rained, and it was fine. It covered up my knees as well because it was so big. It's great. There are reviewers on Amazon saying that eventually these they are susceptible to tearing, so we'll see. But they do actually look quite well made to me, and they just do the job. No protection from the temperature needed, but just from the rain, and it's great.
Yeah, I mean, for 13 quid, what can you expect? Or even less when you paid it. They look very much like a cagoule to me. I can't imagine really in what way a cagoule would be a great deal different. I suppose cagoule doesn't have the armholes. But I love the picture on Amazon, sort of his and hers version. Presumably they are the same size, though. They're not a his and hers sizing. When you buy the two, you get the two identical sizes. Yeah, very good,
you
Ted.
Do.
Very good.
And you also get a bag. And those sleeves, well, they're not really sleeves.
Yeah.
They're just part of the sheet. They give, because I've got to put my hands out to the handlebars, obviously. It gives loads of free movement to do that. And there's one picture, if you look down the listing, there's one picture of this woman hiking with a rucksack underneath it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they are really huge. It's like having a tent around you. Great.
And no offence, but for Ted Salmon to say that something is huge, it must be bloody enormous.
Yeah, exactly. right too. I want one,
I want one, I want one. I want one of those.
All right, what do you want then?
I want a pair of Nugo Ice slippers.
Ah.
And this just looks like a really nifty idea for people like me who have got, you know, just get too hot in the summer. £18.99 for this pair of slippers. And they're designed for people that get plantar fasciitis and other stuff that goes wrong with feet that you need to cool them down for, or even gout in my case.
Sorry, what was that word? Plantar fasciitis. It sounds like an Italian opera singer. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, yeah, it's this condition that you get in your heels. My ex-wife used to have it standing around. She worked in theatre in the hospital, and she got it from standing around too much.
Ah, okay.
My dad's got it as well. So it's a thing for lots of people. Anyway, the idea here is that you get these ice slippers and you chuck them in the freezer or in the fridge if you want, whatever. But you can put them in the freezer and then you put them on, and they're perfectly designed to make sure that you then don't, you know, freeze your feet. You know, they're kind of padded in a way that you're not going to damage your skin when you put them on. And they just look great. And I thought next summer, that I would love to have. And I want one of these because I'm never going to get them. They're not going to fit me. My great big mountain gorilla size 14s, there's just no chance. In the pictures here, it's obvious that one size fits all means up to, you know, the average female foot size.
Oh, that's a shame. I was just going to say, do an Aiden and order them and send them back and you'll probably get them for free.
That's
a shame if you're sure they're not going to fit.
Well, yeah. I'm fairly confident, really. Size 14. Who's going to make some of these for size 14 feet when they won't sell hardly any of them for that? Mind you, they are one size fits all. I don't know. Perhaps I should order them. Yes.
I'm also thinking, I wonder if it's something my mother could use. Because Big Horse, John Wayne, had a Big Horse. I wondered, having looked at this in our recording notes, whether it was the same kind of gel that can also be put into the microwave and warmed up, which would then mean that you could use them to warm your feet in the winter. And I asked Amazon's famous Rufus AI on the website, and it replied, yes, the foot ice pack can be warmed in the microwave for 60 seconds to provide warm therapy for your feet. You can also freeze them in the fridge for 2 hours for cold compress therapy, so they work both ways. Oh, Mrs.
Cool.
So there you go. For both, all seasons. Yeah, I might actually think about, I'll talk to my mother and see if a pair of these would be useful for her, in which case maybe we can both take... I'll take one for the team, and if it swallows my mother's petite little feet, then you may have a chance.
Yeah, possibly. £20, so you know, they're not cheap as chips, but it might. Well, they are if you separate them into two separate.
Now that's pushing it, Ed. You can't say left and right. No, I'm drawing the line there. Absolutely.
Yes, Judge Barton would be onto that, wouldn't he?
Really?
Better
before. Judy Lopez has a lovely better before. She says, after many years living in Germany, I recently came to live with my twin sister, Jen Tobb, also a regular listener to the podcast. Hello, Jen and Judy both. She was cleaning out a room for me and found a load of old CDs that I had posted to her over the years. They were CDs that I had ripped using songs from various sources. Say no more. Jen doesn't have a CD player, so she bought a cheap Chinese one from Amazon, and she's now all enthusiastic, saying that CDs should definitely be a better before item in whatever works. Oh, hear, hear, says Aidan. In actual fact, says Judy, as we are both 85 years old, we may both qualify as better before. Oh, I don't think you're better before, Judy. I think you're better now. I think that's the key. Get better and better as the years go by. It just means you'll be extremely good now. There's a new heading for the show.
Yeah. Lovely to know that you're both listening. And I do, very occasionally, they throw something in the pot for us to talk about on the show.
Yes.
And I'm glad that some people you don't hear from, like Elizabeth in America, you know, just occasionally she'll throw something in to let us know that she's still listening. And it's really nice to have some listeners in that kind of category.
I hope Elizabeth's all right. I haven't fallen into your pond, I hope, Elizabeth. I'm bringing one to better before only because it occurred to me the other day that we've never had the toilet seat up or down debate. Perhaps we should. I just wonder what your opinion was, Ted, because I've known people be fervently one way or t'other with this. The way I see it, let me give you my help. Leave it where you want. We're 50% men and 50% women, roughly speaking. You just don't know what the next person coming in is going to need. Therefore, leave the toilet seat up or down as you wish. It doesn't matter. Do you have an opinion?
We also have that debate about whether the toilet roll... Oh, actually, I think we do.
Oh, you mean outwards or inwards?
Yeah, outside or inwards on the toilet roll. I think we did do that once, didn't we? But going back to the toilet seat, I, throughout my whole life, up to the age of about 30, always just left it up and just did whatever I just what you described, really. Just leave it how you leave it. And then I had a relationship with this woman who it absolutely ground her gears, as they say in America. Mm-hmm. And so she trained me to always put it down. And ever since the age of about 30 till now, I've always it completely automatically put the whole thing down every time. But you're quite right. I think that it's a 50-50 thing, and it should be okay to leave it wherever. I think some people think that it looks untidy if it's up. That's the thing.
But then you'll talk about the lid. I mean, of course, a lot of public toilets don't have lids. But I mean, I think if you talk about an aesthetically pleasing toilet, then it's do you put the lid down?
Yeah.
But that's a whole other ball game. Right. Anyway, there we are.
That's a debate for next time.
Yes, it is.
Whatever.
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 Worked.
Right, where are we up to now?
We're up to show 102 to 104, which was March 2020. And that was 6 years ago. Actually, that's more than 6 years ago now. Wow. Right, you start.
I start. Well, I picked out of this the contour gauge duplicator. The best way I can describe this, if you laid a whole load of matches on the table in front of you, one on top of the other, and in a completely straight line. If you then pushed your finger into one end of those matches, the other end of the matches would come out and give you a convex indication of the concave pressing you just pushed into it. And it's this thing that's built to do that. And I mean, it's incredibly clever, because if you're a carpenter or you're doing DIY, you can use it to get exactly the size of a corner or the shape of a piece of wood or metal that you need to cut. So I got one, because it was only £3.98, according to Amazon, when I bought it. But I have to say that other than having fun pressing it against my face and creating a convex indent of my conch, I didn't actually find any use for the damn thing, and I've got no idea where it is anymore. But it was fun to own one and to play with. And it's a very clever, cunning device, and it was only £3.98. So for the price of a cup of coffee, it gave me a lot of pleasure playing around with it, pressing my nose into it. But I did own one for 10 minutes and lost it. But the contour cage duplicator is probably an extremely useful device for people who've got a sensible use for one.
There was also the same principle. They had these kind of desk toy things where it's like a rectangle of silver pins and you put your face into it.
Yeah, exactly the same principle. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I guess you can probably still get those. I don't know. Right, the thing that I picked out was the iSuperb sewing thread cutter or fishing yarn or whatever you like.
Oh, yes.
This is a ring. You put this on your finger and protruding from the top end of it is a little cutter, like the kind of blade you'd expect to see in a pencil sharpener. And because of the way it's shaped and positioned, if you were doing something like fishing or sewing, you could just quickly turn your finger around and cut the thing, whatever you wanted to cut off, in half. So I remember that coming to the show. I can't remember who brought it to the show, but it was, I think, quite a good idea for those that would have a use. And definitely a classic whatever works gadget, for sure.
It scares me. I know it's perfectly safe, but it still looks like something out of Peaky Blinders, and you wouldn't want, you wouldn't want to meet somebody walking down the road with one of them on their ring. Let's do two each today. Why not? I'm going for the I used to know how to say Xiaomi. Is that correct? Xiaomi.
Yeah.
MI fidget cubes. Now I think you were responsible for this, and I know we said we can't bring stuff that we brought, but I'm telling you, it's the right way round, because it was bought by someone else. I think you started this, and I remember getting one, and I couldn't put the damn thing down. And after several weeks, it was greasy and filthy because I'd spent a lot of shows playing with this wretched fidget cube. It was basically looking at the link now, it seems to have disappeared. But as I remember, it was a bit like a sort of tiny Rubik's cube, but with only four cubes. But it was held together with elastic, so you could sort of wiggle these cubes around and move them in and out and up and down and back and forth and around each other. And it was compulsive. It was just absolutely, you couldn't put the damn thing down. So I'm glad to say I've got no idea where mine is, because otherwise I'd start all over again. Yeah, the fidget cube was a big hit with Aidan Bell, at least.
It was also, now let's see if we can remember the chappie who was into this. Danny Hoy, was it? I think there was one of our listeners who was really into fidget toys. And I think that the original kind of interest came from him. But I've still got both of mine. I've got two, and they're I know exactly where they are. I never touched them. Perhaps I should start again. But there you go.
Well, if you want to send me an unkind present, post one to me, and I'll never forgive you for it.
Just a quick one to finish off the section. These little USB-C plug thingies. So, you know, this to be filed under, you might as well as not, because your USB-C socket on your phone is sitting there gathering dust. And these little plugs, you get 10 of them for £3.95 still today. And you just plug it in and it protects it from dust and stuff from your pocket and getting in there and getting it all dirty. So everyone should have one.
And that's interesting, Ted. I'm slightly hesitant because I'm realizing it's a solution for a problem I never knew existed. I mean, has it ever been proven that dust in USB sockets is a problem?
Oh yeah, absolutely. On our PSC.
Oh, on our phones. I beg your pardon, Ted. I'm so sorry. You see, this, I'm showing my age. At 62, I'm immediately thinking of USB sockets on a computer, not on a phone that's in your pocket. So yes, I take
USB-C.
All that back. Yeah, I take it
These
all back.
These ports are USB-C. And yeah, on our PSC group, it's a recurring theme really that, you know, people are finding ways of cleaning out the USB-C socket. But yeah, put one of these plugs in and you won't need to bother.
I'll get back in my box.
Good idea.
Well, this is a quick one because I had the whinge last show, so I'm not going to have the whinge all over again. But you might remember I'm having a fetish about the Google glasses and at the moment still trying to find them. The latest on that story is that I gather that they are going to be produced by Gentle Monster Opticians, who have only one branch in the country, and that is Selfridges in London. So I plan to pop up to Selfridges at some time and go into Gentle Monster and talk to them about it. But the Room 101 is Samsung. Utterly useless customer pre-sales support. I had the whinge last time. If you remember, I phoned them, I live chatted with them, I even went to the Samsung store, where I must say I did finally find a young man who was moderately helpful and able to tell me about Gentle Monster. But their telephone service and their chat service was utterly useless. But I'm still on it, and when I've been to Gentle Monster in London, I'll give you another update, if you cared.
They're obviously getting frightened off by all the bad press about these things and invasions of privacy.
It could be
that,
yes,
like that.
It could be.
Yeah. Anyway, my Room 101 is going to be the off-cup watch. So my dad's watch, did I mention it on the last show? My dad's watch, he couldn't get a battery replaced.
Yes, I think
on
you
it.
Did, yes.
Right. So we sent off for these watches, this watch, £6.49, so it's as cheap as chips, with a battery inside it, and it's all right, it's fine. We actually got him an elastic strap to put round, because the strap was kind of faux leather and not very nice. But the reason it's in Room 101, and it's, you know, for £6.49, a stopgap, you know, to get you over a period of time, if you have to have a watch, like my dad, it makes sense to just buy a £6.49 watch. The reason it's in Room 101 is because it loses 15 minutes a day. So we even went to the effort of concluding it might be the battery. So this thing has been sat in a stockroom somewhere for years on end, and let's get a new battery. So I got a new battery, opened it up, and put it, because it was really easy to open the back on this one. Put a new battery into it. Same thing happens. Dad's friend down the road saw Dad's watch, and he said, "I want one of those." And so we ordered a second one for him. We told him that it loses 15 minutes a day. And I said, because we thought that maybe it was just my dad's one, but my dad's friend got this one delivered, and a couple of days later we asked him, sure enough, exactly the same, loses 15 minutes a day. Now, my dad's wasn't really that bothered, because when he went to bed, he would just put it right again, but... you know, what a load of bollocks, eh?
Well, I'm sorry. I know that we've proven on this show that very occasionally there is an exception to the rule, but you get what you pay for, Ted. I mean, £6.49 for a watch. Yeah. What do you expect? I mean, I actually only losing 15 minutes a day. I would say that's not bad for £6.49.
But it might be, for example, it might be that if you paid £9.99 for a watch, then you would lose that inconsistency. There must be a cheap watch, I reckon. Anyway, my dad was kind of happy, but I'm still putting it into room 101 because it's apart from anything else, it's quite funny.
I think if you want to buy a watch for that money, go to Gumtree or eBay and buy a second-hand watch that has a chance of keeping a time. Well, I just thought I'd balance... thank you. Well, mine is... it's just a quickie, because it really, talking about companies doing what they're meant to do properly, for reasons I don't really understand, Halifax Bank is being absorbed into Lloyds. I didn't know that Halifax already belongs to Lloyds. And I, as a Halifax customer, have been informed by Lloyds and Lloyds Halifax that Halifax as a brand is disappearing. And I was forced, basically, to move over to the Lloyds app. And my bank account is now a Lloyds bank account. But I have to say, it was utterly and totally flawless. I mean, one day I opened the phone and they said, we're ready to move you. Would you like to move now? And I said, yes. And I just followed a little wizard that was no problem at all. And lo and behold, I was suddenly using the Lloyds app and not the Halifax app, and the same on the computer. And you'd barely know it had happened. So, I mean, the gold star for getting it 150% right, moving from one app infrastructure, one bank and infrastructure to another bank and infrastructure without the slightest problem. That's it.
Oh no.
What?
The sun's come out and it's stopped raining. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Yes, that is very good. You're right. When they effect that kind of switch over flawlessly, a bit like your internet, incidentally.
Yes, yes.
Then they're deserving of a gold star, because that could easily have been a right royal cock up, couldn't it? Ed House is next on iFixit. The contributors putting their repair guides onto the site, and the site store for providing good quality replacement parts for phones, laptops and things to repair devices. I used to use the site back in the old days for fixing Nokias, Blackberries and iPhones, says Ed. And in the last year, I've used it to replace batteries in my 2015 MacBook Pro and iPhone 8 Plus. And I'm soon to order a kit to replace the battery in a Generation 1 Microsoft Surface Book. Keep up at the back. Restoring functionality to devices long out of manufacturer support and keeping them from becoming e-waste is worth a gold star. So iFixit, link in the show notes to that if you don't know what that is. Ed says, good people all round, so a gold star for them. Yes, indeed.
Indeed. We're starting to blur the line, aren't we, between excellent service and just getting it right. Well, yeah. We've opened a can of worms again. Here. Yes. And Ed continues to bring us Lamy, L-A-M-Y, which I believe make pens, according to what I'm reading here. I might have mentioned the before, says Ed, that I like fountain pens. Maybe you've heard that Chris Kelly likes them too. No, really? I've got a new car, I told you. I noticed that Lamy, says Ed, has an excellent selection of spare parts available for all their pens and even for tablet styluses, which can't make them much money because personally I've never needed to replace anything on mine. But it's great to see it's there. So, good for them. Very eco-friendly. I have my Umbra Safari fountain pen and mechanical pencil as a pair in daily use. I must have had them for 14 years by now. I did have a petrol Safari, which I gifted to someone, and I will soon have a silver-white AL Star to replace it, since it was stolen by some ne'er-do-well in the office. For the price, they are sublime pens. And one day, I'm sure my will break and I will order the Lamy 2000. Do you know, it's a world that I just don't belong to. I very rarely use a pen these days. I guess a lot of people will be saying this in this age of technology now. I don't use a pen that often. And when I do, I'm very sorry to say, Ed and Chris, as long as it works, it's a cheap Bic Biro will do me fine. But how lovely to have that interest and hobby in pens. Mm. And of course, if you get into calligraphy, then that's a whole world in itself. And I have to say, I looked up the Lamy 2000 and it costs just under £200. So, but I mean, if it's a hobby, that puts my... By the way, I forgot to say earlier what my thermometer costs. £38 I paid for the thermometer I spoke about at the beginning of the show. So, I mean, you know, if I can spend £38 on a thermometer to give me pleasure and for no other reason, then why not spend £200 on a pen if you can afford it? Absolutely no reason not to. So, well done, Ed. Thank you. I mean, not my world, but one that I can certainly appreciate.
Same as me. I'm not really... I don't use pens very much, but it's great that people have got hobbies and that they are diverse, which is great. Super, super. Chris Kelly jumped in as well and said, another reason to praise Lamy, if that's how you pronounce it, is that the majority of their fountain pens use an identical design of nib, which can be simply pulled off and pushed back on. If you're like me and own more than one of their pens with different line widths and colours of nib, then you can swap them from one pen to another. Even better. So, yeah, Ed and Chris, you ought to start a club, I reckon. And well, actually, they probably already belong to one online. I'm sure that there's loads of people that are fascinated by pens, aren't there?
Do you know what I'd be fascinated by? I'd be fascinated if Ed and or Chris could let us know, what do you use your pens for? I mean, presumably, if you have an interest in pens and penmanship, are you purely just using the pen and writing nonsense for the pleasure of using the pen, which is, of course, fine? Or do you have tasks that need to be written down and therefore you use the pen for that? I'd be curious to know obviously the facetious answer is to write things down. But what are you using the pens for? I'd be very interested to know.
As a result of this item, I actually went onto YouTube and had a look at some people that are similarly fascinated with notepads. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole infrastructure of people that love having notepads and pen and paper and making to-do lists on paper. And it's all it seems to be a big thing out there, that going back to away from screens and back to pen and paper. Maybe there is a resurgence going on of you know, turning things around from tech to non-tech.
Do you know, my sister, who lives out in Cyprus, who understands social media better than I ever will, has a Filofax. She uses a Filofax and she carries it with her. And every now and again, I get a message from her, could you please order this or that for me from England because I can't get it in Cyprus. And she uses and maintains a Filofax. And I'm proud of her for that. Good for her. So, yes, I agree with you, Ted. Vive la analog. Definitely.
My dad does too. Every October, he asks me to get his new pages for his Filofax.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, no, because my mother still uses a diary. She buys a diary from Smith's once a year and has a physical diary with a pen. Although my mother is also quite au fait with the computer. She prefers to write things down. Excellent. I probably answered the question that I've just asked Ed and Chris.
Right, one shout out before we go for Ted Salmagundi, because it always seems to get ignored. So I thought I would do a little series of, at the end of the show, from the archives. And today I'm going back to October 2018, and I posted in my Salmagundi blog a session that I had with my late mum where we made sultana scones from the... Yes. You're posh. You're supposed to say scones.
I just want it to be difficult. Posh. I don't really know which I say. I just thought whichever one you say, I'm going to contradict you.
Yes. So anyway, this scones recipe has been in my family for like hundreds of years, yes, apparently, and they're really, really scrummy and really nice. I'll put a link in the show notes to the post where I go through the ingredients and the method and how we do it, how we did it. But and there's a photograph there as well, seeing how scrummy they look. So yes, Ted Salmagundi. Don't forget, you can go across there and see what I'm writing about. I tend to do lots of film reviews and TV show reviews, and also phone reviews and gear and all the rest of it. But also, yeah, stuff like that, that chucking in a potpourri. Because whatever works is a broad stroke, and it can be anything, of course. So anything should be up for bringing to the show, shouldn't it, Aidan?
It should. You know, I have to ask you, when you make your yummy-looking scones, do you just slice them in half and eat them with a bit of butter, or do you do the whole clotted cream jam business and have yourself an afternoon tea?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because it depends. If you take them straight out of the oven and slice them in half and just eat them with a bit of butter on it, yeah, so the butter melts, that in itself is a really, really nice way to eat them. But yes, if you're going to wait till they're cooled down, then the best way, I think, then is to get some fresh cream. I'm not a fan of clotted cream, but I like fresh double cream whipped. And you can make that and put some jam on it, and it's lovely then as well. Yeah, scones are really, really nice.
Do you know, when I was a teenager and was stupid and wasn't thinking ahead, I used to just get a bowl of whipped cream and eat it. I just loved cream so much. I was probably a cat in a previous life. I used to just eat cream with a spoon. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Ted. Yeah. Anyway.
Very nice indeed. I think we're done. We'll come back and haunt you again in 2 or 3 weeks' time, and leave you with the information that whateverworks.works is our website. Aidanbell.com is where Aidan hangs out, and at santabell.co.uk. And for everything that I do, all of our podcasts, all of our other MeWe groups, the whole lot, it's at tedsalmon.com or Podhub UK. And do tune in and listen to what we're doing. And head for the MeWe group for Whatever Works, and let us know whatever works in your life. It's been a bit quiet lately, so do let us know whatever works in your lives, so we've got lots of interesting fodder. Keep it going. Last word to you.
Well, last word to me, then. Thank you, sir. It's probably a reaction to what you've just said. It may be the heat. You know, I felt terribly lethargic over the last weeks. So my last word would be then, live in the moment, everybody. The clouds have come out and the rain is coming down and the world is feeling a lot more comfortable. So take the opportunity to wake up and give us some things for the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So, OK, yeah, we'll catch you in 2 or 3 weeks' time. And last thing, as always, don't forget...
Whatever works,
works!
Wow, we've been practicing.